Welcome back to another episode of Franchise Euphoria. Josh Brown here, and as a franchise lawyer, I get to spend my days helping people with their franchise legal needs. But on this show, I get to talk with people in and around the franchise world and learn from their perspective and their experiences, and also share some of my own. Enjoy! Welcome back to Franchise Euphoria. Thrilled to have on Wes Fox here. How you doing, Wes?
Hey, doing great, Josh. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
So you're the founder and chief tactical instructor at United Defense Tactical, which, let me just say this, I've done this podcast since 2013, over 10 years. I'm not sure I've ever had on anybody else with this kind of a franchise system. So I'm really excited to talk to you. I love your background. You're a former private military contractor. You bring a whole lot of experience to this, but I don't want to butcher your history. Why don't you tell me your background and how you got into all this?
Yeah, no, I'd be happy to. And yeah, this is definitely a unique first of its kind concept. So that's why you haven't heard of it until we brought this, to market. My background is in executive protection, self-defense, combatives. I've trained in private military contracting, been a firearms instructor for a long time. And really where the idea for this came from, Josh, is about 16 years ago. And, doing a lot of executive protection at that time, and realized that the training that everyone does to learn how to defend yourself with a firearm in a real situation, or to even make that decision if you should use a firearm in that situation, it's very unrealistic. And have you shot guns before? Have you been to a range in the past?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I go all the time. I've been to a range a few times, yeah, and sure. I've done the skeet shooting that you do.
Yeah, sure, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Great. So you've been to a range, so you kind of know how that is. So typically how people learn, and it's really the same across the board, whether they're civilians, law enforcement, military, maybe with the exception of, special forces or special operations forces, it's very static training. So you're at a range. You may have an instructor teaching you, maybe a friend or a family member that's teaching you. And it's in no way commensurate with the real situation. So you're in a lane. You've got a piece of paper that's downrange. There's zero threat. You don't feel like there's a threat. There's no communication. There's no de-escalation. There's no, kind of people around or behind you, or, family members with you. And so it doesn't allow you to really process a situation as being real. And so people are in that static environment, basically punching holes in a piece of paper under no pressure with all the time in the world, and they might be accurate, they may not be accurate. But what happens when you take those people with that kind of training and put them in a real life and death situation where there's a threat. Now, whether there's a weapon involved or not, there's a threat. They're not prepared because they've never done it. And so one of the kind of credos we have around here is you can't do something you haven't trained to do. And that's, that's very true. I can't show you, a video of a UFC fighter, destroying an opponent and doing very well in a fight. And I say, okay, Josh, okay, you saw the video, right? Okay, cool. That's your static training. Now you're going to be in the UFC this weekend fighting. If you're not a fighter and you haven't done that training and been through those things, you literally can't perform in that situation.
So it kind of was built on this idea that, people go, they train on guns, they train, but they're sitting there and they're shooting a piece of paper. And the reality is when, God forbid, if you ever have to be in that situation, there's a whole lot of things that happen that aren't being replicated in that scenario, right?
Absolutely. And it's really the biggest disconnect that I've ever seen in any industry, because if you're going to be a lawyer, you go to law school, then you intern with a firm and you learn how to become, you learn how to become an attorney, right? And so you actually get the training and the experience to be able to represent clients on your own or be part of a firm. And in the firearms industry, there's almost no training at all. People are able to get a concealed carry permit you know, by taking a 2-day class, where in that class, they're sharing information with you, but it's really about just to get your permit. In no way are they actually training you to be in a real situation. We train our students, you know, the last thing that we want to do is draw a weapon and use a weapon. That's for, you know, your life's in imminent and immediate danger. There's no other options. But in reality, you have to be able to put yourself in a place where you potentially see a threat. You try to situational awareness, try to avoid putting yourself in a bad situation to begin with. Being aware of your surroundings, kind of having an exit plan. Where do you park? Do you leave your car on when you're sitting in it or not? What if somebody broke in your home? Do you have a home defense plan? And so without all those things, people tend to, you know, fail at a pretty high, you know, level because they haven't been through it. And it's also something you have to continue to train to be proficient. So we call it reality-based threat training. And that's the program that we've developed to really put people in a, hey, how do you think? How do you stay calm? How do you put yourself in the best position? How do you communicate? Even communicating, just maybe taking down a situation to where it doesn't escalate, you know, that takes training and that takes skill as well.
How long ago did you start this?
With the idea was, like I said, it was about 16 years ago. I didn't start it at that time. I had a big security company, executive protection company. And when you say
executive protection, you know, you're talking about you're protecting people who have hired you to protect them, whether it's, you know, celebrities or CEOs or what. I mean, I don't know what it would be, but that's probably right in that realm.
That's absolutely correct. So sometimes it might be one person. Sometimes it might be a team of five. We had one client that we needed a team of 15. You know, and it was multiple vehicles, et cetera, right? Somebody, a royal type person from a different country. So the executive protection but even in that realm, it's just, there really wasn't, you know, outside of the initial training that you would do to become, you know, an executive protection, you know, specialist or close protection, you know, specialist, depending on, you know, where you're at, the training just doesn't prepare you. There's almost no training.
So we glossed over this a little bit. I'm just curious. I think it's always because the line of work you're in is unique. There's not that many people as a percentage who do it. Mm-hmm. Did you grow up wanting to do this? How did you fall into this field?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I've always been into combatives, martial arts. I'm an instructor in a number of different systems and including some law enforcement systems like Gracie Survival Tactics, et cetera. And so I've always kind of been involved in that and in the shooting. I built a few, you know, companies along the way, but kind of got into, you know, more of the executive protection and the PMC, you know, type work. And then built a, you know, very large security company and sold that almost 2 years ago, maybe almost 2.5 years ago, actually. And so this project I started about 5.5 years ago was when we kind of launched it. So I was still doing a lot before that, a lot of training to civilians, law enforcement, et cetera, live fire trainings, but then was able to actually put together a facility. And in our facilities, we have the ability to do very immersive reality-based training. And we start at the fundamentals because we've got people coming in from all different backgrounds. And some of the people we have coming in, you know, now have never shot a gun. You know, after COVID, we grew 76% during 2020.
Well, I can only imagine.
Yeah,
I can only
imagine. It woke everyone up and they're like, man, I got to get a gun. I got to get training. You know, all the people that kind of voted for some of the crazy California anti-gun laws, you know, all of a sudden wanted, you know, we've got a lot of those people that are coming in. But we use simulators to put people in very realistic scenarios safely with, you know, being able to use a weapon system that has an infrared laser, and it puts you in a very high pressure situation and you have to make decisions. So using a firearm is not just about drawing a weapon and firing it accurately. It's about, you know, that, again, that's the last thing we want to have happen, right? So we want to be able to avoid the situation, de-escalate, escape, you know, defend ourselves.
So is this for the system itself, for the business, is it sure, like a membership type program where
it
you
is,
come and
yes.
you, okay.
Absolutely. So if you're going to have, if you want to be able to defend yourself, or if you're going to have a gun and you may use that for self-defense, if somebody breaks in your home or you have a concealed carry permit, et cetera, you know, you really need you need this training, and you need this training ongoing. It's just like going to the gym. You know, you can't go to the gym one time and go, okay, man, I had a great workout. I'm buff. Never have to go back to the gym again. I'm done. You know,
it doesn't work that way, Wes. I thought it worked that way.
It'd be fantastic. I'd be the first to sign up for that program. But you know, you got to put it. It's a perishable skill, right? So, you know, it's a little bit of training frequently is what makes somebody really good at anything. And we certainly commend, you know, anyone that's getting some firearms training. But pretty much what's out there, it's not only static, but it's a class. It's an hour. It's 2 hours. It's a half a day. It's a day. Maybe it's a 2-day class. You know, most people won't go to 2-day classes, but, you know, they are out there. So you go to the class, which is great, and you're going to make some progress during the class. If you have a good instructor, obviously, you're going to learn some weapon handling and some safety. But as far as, you know, using that's one, there's no threat ever. So it's very unrealistic. There's no threat that you're dealing with. It's a piece of paper. It's a piece of steel. Furthermore, that information and that training that you've gone through, you know, in a Saturday and Sunday, I could get you personally up to an incredibly high level over 2 days, where you're going to be clearing rooms and bounding and transitioning from, you know, from rifle to pistol and back, and, you know, have you shooting from all types of positions on the move dynamically. But come Monday morning, you don't own that information. It's not in your body. It's in a pressure situation. Even on a non-pressure situation, you're going to barely be able to recall it. And that diminishes very quickly. So you really, you know, can't use it anyway. So again, the only way you can become proficient is small amounts of training frequently, whether it's firearms training, reality-based training, tennis, I mean, race car driving, you know, whatever it might be, you know, and that's how you get good. You get it ingrained to where it becomes kind of a second nature.
So, I mean, you're a professional, and I certainly, you know, it's interesting because obviously this podcast, we don't talk about politics or anything like that, and I don't want to talk about any of that. Sure. But I'm curious, though, you're a professional. Does it, you know, this is how I see guns, right? Myself, right? Is like that, you know, they're necessary. You've got to protect yourself. They serve a purpose. I think they're, you know, people who hunt or whatever, you know, it's good entertainment and so forth. But also it worries me that if you don't have the proper training with it and you're carrying it around and you sort of, you watched a YouTube video or whatever, and now you think you're training me. That's the world you live in, right? I mean, that's the world you live in where you're kind of going, you are a trained professional. You know how these things should be used, how they shouldn't be used. Yet your market, right? Your market here is expanding infinitely, right? Because more and more people are getting guns, and it's a hot topic, obviously. I'm curious your thoughts on that, just in terms of the training, or lack thereof, or, you know, is that of concern to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the main reasons I started this, is to really be able to train people at a realistic level where they could make good decisions. They could process that information, not overreact, not be a victim. And we've got, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of amazing success stories of real situations that happened to members that they were able to navigate or survive because of the training. But yeah, just because you have a right to have a gun doesn't mean you should. And by that, I mean, if you're not going to get training, why should you have a gun? If you're not going to learn how to drive, why would I want you to have a license? If you're not going to learn how to fly a plane, why do I want you to be my pilot? Just because you'd like to fly a plane, right? So I think that there's a responsibility that comes with gun ownership, but it's also partially, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So a lot of people think that the training they get their concealed carry permit, which is basically non-existent training, is sufficient. Okay, now they're okay. Or they've been to the range a few times, or they've taken a few classes, or they learned how to shoot from their grandpa or whatever it might be. And they think that they're prepared. And that's a big part of what we're doing, Josh, is educating people. So they don't necessarily know they need this sometimes until, you know, we're able to kind of demonstrate that they're not really prepared for a real situation. Because we have people, oh, I'm a gun expert, I've been shooting my whole life. And then we'll put them in a scenario and they realize, wow, I really I really don't know what to do in a real situation. I really wasn't prepared. I was really stressed. I kind of froze up, or I overreacted, or I couldn't even articulate why I drew my gun, or there were so many other choices that I could have, you know, made. And, you know, that's why you have to be in the most realistic situation you possibly can. And so we do start with the very basics. We teach people very high level, you know, shooting, pistol, rifle, et cetera. And then we build that program to where they're advancing more in a reality-based program as far as they want to go. We have 8 different levels that people can progress to. So there is a progression.
And are they training with their own guns, or do you provide, like, how does that work?
Yeah, so we're providing the training weapons here, you know, at the facility. They're highly realistic weapons, but it's a safe environment for people to train in. And then there's a live fire component as well, and a self-defense component. Because even if you are really at expert level in dealing with a real reality-based threat with your weapon, doesn't mean that you should draw that weapon. You know, or that you're going to get to that weapon if somebody attacks you initially and you weren't prepared, you know, for that, didn't see it coming, or they just close that distance so quickly that you can't react in time. And now you might even be able to have to defend yourself to escape, or even to get to your weapon system if it was a life and death situation and it warranted that.
Let's talk about the franchise model itself and how you came about to franchising. Was it always your idea to franchise from the beginning?
You know, I wanted to expand. So once we opened up the first location and just saw the overwhelming response that we got from everybody, law enforcement, civilians that did shoot, that wanted to, you know, be able to perform in high level situations and really, really hone that, or people that have never picked up a gun, you know, before in their entire life. So there were just, the response was so overwhelming. I mean, we have 1,400 students, you know, student members just at the original location right now.
Where's the original location?
It's in Costa Mesa. It's Newport Beach, California, Costa Mesa, California. So we're kind of right on the border there.
Nice. Okay. And that makes sense. I mean, it's interesting because, and then as you expand, you turn it into a franchise, you know, is the opportunity that they come in and there's a physical location, there's these trainings, it's the software, it's mm-hmm. the training that you're providing, the ongoing support for that. What type of franchisee are you looking for this type of system?
Yeah, so the training is very comprehensive. We have a great training program. So there's kind of 3 different areas. We can have our member services, which is kind of, you know, we're checking in people and, you know, that process, booking people, et cetera. We have our enrollment coaches, which will meet with prospective members to see if this is a fit for them and kind of get them into an initial training. And if it's something that is a fit, then, you know, talk about, you know, packages. We do background checks on any potential member. So there is a kind of a review and background check process to make sure that we're bringing in people that, you know, that we should be training, you know, that are good, responsible civilians, and law enforcement, et cetera. And then we also have our instructor side. So it's very comprehensive training. So we provide all that at a very high level. So that really for that franchisee, we're looking for somebody that has some experience running a business or managing people. You know, we need somebody that can run the day-to-day operations of a business. And then there's such extensive franchise support and training support initially when they're open, ongoing on a weekly basis. There's just a lot of great support and training. And we were able to kind of move into the franchise space. I had some students that were in that were coming in that were really, it kind of built some of the biggest brands in franchising, and they loved the model so much, and they were fans because they were students, and they loved to come here and train every week. And they basically approached me and said, are you thinking about expanding? And I said, yeah, we're thinking about expanding. We'd like to reach more people, train more people, have you know, massive impact on communities, which we do. And they said, well, if you ever want to franchise, we'd be happy to kind of consult with you for free, because we just love what you're doing. And we think this is something great you're doing, and it's amazing. And kind of turn that into having one of the main guys come on board as a partner. And so we've been able to kind of build this dream team that did UFC gym and Mayweather Boxing and XBT and has done just a number of massive brands. And so we've just got an amazing team that's behind this that are real franchise experts in all areas.
And how many locations right now?
So we have eight original location, eight franchises that are, you know, in various stages open or in various stages of open. And then we've got a number of more, you know, we're probably going to have probably more 25 or 30 additional franchises this year.
That's great. So how's your role evolving with all that?
How's my role?
Yeah, I mean, your role evolving. I mean, it's evolving as the franchise system grows and
absolutely.
And you bring on more of a team. And is your idea to expand throughout the United States or is it more?
Absolutely. Yeah. So somewhere north of 200 locations is what we're looking at doing. We only started, you know, kind of the middle of last year. So we've made tremendous progress. Like I said, we'll probably be right around 35 or so by the end of this year. And so, yeah, my role is just kind of more evolving into a lot more on the training side and helping franchisees kind of develop their team. It's a great program. It's very simple to learn. We have an item 19 that's coming out soon with our new FDD filing. Yeah. But I can tell you that the unit economics are just outstanding on this model. I haven't found another model. We haven't found another model that competes with our unit economics.
And it's a membership subscription model.
It is, yeah, absolutely. So your members are signing up for 1 year, kind of a 1 year commitment upfront. Because it is something you either are going to train and be prepared for a real situation when it occurs, or not train. You shouldn't have a gun, in my opinion, and you're potentially a victim, right? So those are kind of the choices. But to train, you know, it doesn't mean you have to spend 20 hours a week training. It might be 1 or 2 hours a week, but it's an ongoing process to maintain those skills and to be able to not just the mechanics of shooting, but the being able to kind of control that fight or flight and be able to make good decisions, be able to communicate, be able to move, be able to protect, you know, family members, having a plan for different scenarios. You're in a restaurant, robber comes in or active shooter comes in, somebody breaks into your home, somebody tries to attack you through your vehicle window, you know, whatever it might be, or just, you know, somebody kind of gets up in your face and is potentially a physical threat. Yeah, so we teach our members how to deal with all those types of possibilities and encounters.
It's really, really fascinating, Wes. It's a interesting model. A great, I mean, I can see where people would be very, very interested in learning that as a self-defense mechanism, because you see that, as you said, you have a background in self-defense beyond that, whether it's Taekwondo, karate. I mean, you see those as franchises and mechanisms for people to protect themselves. My father-in-law, actually, who passed away a couple of years ago, he was a lawyer, but he was also he trained back in the 60s or 70s, the Maryland Police Department in jiu-jitsu or some sort of, you know, self-defense, sort of the non-life-threatening, you know, other alternatives of ways to, you know, defend yourself, which I think is, you know, really, really, really important.
Yeah, everyone should learn some self-defense. So we integrate that into the training as you progress. And we have self-defense classes that are standalone classes that, so if people want to kind of take a deeper dive into the self-defense, but we're, you know, it's really important for everyone to have some level of self-defense training because you need to be able to protect yourself. You might need to protect loved ones. You might be in a life and death situation, but you might have to defend yourself to be able to escape or to be able to defend yourself. You know,
where can somebody, you know, get a hold of you or learn more about the system? I know they can go to uniteddefensetactical.com. Is that the best place to go to learn about the franchise?
I would recommend that because that's going to give you a pretty good overview of our program. There is a franchise, you know, portion to the website. And so if somebody's interested in learning more, they can fill out that information and we're happy to spend time with them and kind of walk them through the process to see if it's a fit because it really needs to be a fit on both sides. You know, we have, you know, certain types of candidates we're looking for. And obviously, you know, anyone who wants to build a franchise business, I think is going to be very interested in this. As long as they have a passion for helping people, you know, want to make the communities better, want to help law enforcement as well, because we do train law enforcement in all kinds of different tactics, including self-defense, like you talked about with the jiu-jitsu. It's a Gracie survival tactics program. And, you know, so we're, you know, that's part of the training that we do. And so if they have a passion for, you know, for keeping people safe and really giving them the information they need to defend themselves, because it was a dangerous world before COVID, but it's gotten significantly more dangerous. We're talking about 55% increases in shootings. I mean, there's no city that's safe at this point. Crime is through the roof. Break-ins are through the roof. Robberies, assaults, shootings, all at record numbers right now. And that's just a fact. We don't have to talk about the whys about it, but it's just a fact. So it's even more important. It's almost like a matter of when something's going to happen versus if. And I think that's where people are now, is they're realizing, wow, there's either something has happened or happened to somebody I know, or they can just see that you know, it's on the rise, and you've got to be able to be your own defender. Law enforcement is amazing. We really support law enforcement, and obviously a lot of ongoing training, more training, better training for law enforcement. But you know, they can't magically appear there in 3 seconds and save you necessarily, right? So you have to be able to be your own defender. And every outcome doesn't mean that it has to be, you know, a firearm involved. You know, I mean, there's a lot of situations that you can navigate in a different way if you have the tools to do so, if you have the knowledge and the tools.
One final question. How'd you come up with your name?
With United Defense Tactical?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's a great question. Nobody's ever asked me that question.
I'm sitting there thinking about it, and my first thought when I heard the name was, what an interesting and very specific name. There's got to be a story behind it.
There is a story. Yeah. So, so we've trained with former SEALs, MARSOC. I've even trained with Alpha Group Spetsnaz over in Serbia, you know, years ago. So it's been in some world-class competition shooters. And so we've really trained with really the best of the best that's out there. And so we had a couple of SEALs on our team in the very beginning. And we have some now as well. And UDT is kind of where that came from. So that is the original SEALs, that underwater demolition team. So UDT was kind of the original.
Oh, SEALs. Wow. That's interesting.
A frogman. Okay. Right? And then they have the SEAL team. And so they both had tridents. They both kind of went through the same process. And then they just ended up changing it to just SEALs. But in the community, everybody kind of knows what that is. So that was kind of the basis of it, because a lot of the, you know, tactics and training we were doing were kind of SEAL-based type, you know, programs and tactics. And so that's kind of where it came from. And then, you know, just United Defense Tactical, which obviously also says UDT, right? That's kind of where that name came from.
I love it. You know, you hear that name and you go, that was intentional. Yeah. And so I like the story behind it. Well, thank you, Wes. Thanks for sharing some time, and best of luck to you and on your continued growth. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Josh. Appreciate you having me on, brother.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you'd like to get a hold of me or learn more about our franchise services, please go to indyfranchiselaw.com. That's indyfranchiselaw.com. Also, please know that the conversations and information shared on this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as legal advice. Until next time, happy franchise.